Okay, so I want to focus on a Gemara, which Avi, which is sounds a bit agadic, but is actually is taken lehalacha. I want to try to understand the principle that it is that it's laying out. I mean, it does appear or in different forms in throughout halachic literature. But it starts in this very odd little story in the Gemara on Mem Aleph. The Gemara is trying to figure out whether tzitzit are a chovat gavra or a chovat mana. Did you guys do this, Sugya? Are you going to guys? You did this? Chovat gavra, chovat mana? Did you do this?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Chovat gavra, chovat mana? We did it, yes, thank you. I know in my show we did it. Yes. Chovat gavra, yeah, I mean, chovat beged, chovat mana, whatever. So in that context, the Gemara tries to prove it from the following story. And the Gemara says that upliga de malacha, right? So the Gemara says, this argues on the malach. De malacha ashkeche l'rav katina de michse sadina. The malach once found Rav Katina who was wearing clothing. And Amar Le, which was not four-cornered.
Katina.
Amar Le, Katina, Katina, Sadina, Bekaita, Visarbala, Visitu. What does that mean? Sitzit, Shaltchelet, Mateheola. So what does he say to him? Yes, meaning, why are you avoiding the mitzvah, essentially, right? Why are you going to keep wearing these clothing that don't have tzitzit? Because they're rounded, meaning they're pater. But if you keep wearing clothing which is exempt from tzitzis, then what will happen to the mitzvah of tzitzis? Now, let's for a moment, we'll come back to the question of whether it's tchelet or tzitzis that he's annoyed about. So Amar Lei, Anshitu Aaseh, he said, are you punishing me for being derelict in fulfilling a positive commandment? And he says, well, sort of, Amar Lei, Bizman Dikaritcha Anshinan. Normally, being derelict to be mekayim a mitzvah aseh would not be enough to be punished. But if it's a time when God is angry, so then God will take out His wrath even on those who fail to perform a mitzvah aseh. So then the Gemara says, "I amart bishlama chovat gavro haynu de mechayev de lo karami." So he said, if you think that tzitzit is a chovat gavra, it devolves on the person, so at least I understand why you're liable for failing to live up to the mitzvah. But if it was on the beged, it's on the talit, so he wasn't obligated, right? This is just not a heftza that needs tzitzit, so how could you say that you're liable? Elamai chovat gavro. So it must be the chovat gavra. Nehi de chayva rachmana ki michse talid de bat chiyuva ki michse talid la bat chiyuva he mi chayva rachmana. But then the Gemara says that doesn't help you because even if you hold it to chovat gavra, it's only an obligation on the person to wear a beged which is four cornered. But he didn't do anything wrong. So what's the Gemara's answer? Eli hachi kamarle. You're finding excuses. Rashi says, "Tevakesh tachbulot liftor atzmecha mi tzitzit." You're finding schemes to exempt yourself from tzitzit. Tatziki, what's tatziki? Tachbulot, schemes. And then he proves it. So, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara introduces this category, which is what? That there's something wrong with avoiding a mitzvah aseh. Now, if you look at Tosfot here, Tosfot says, Limaskana, is this only according to Chovat Gafra or even according to Chovat Beged? So it's a machloket. Tosfot says, Mikomoko milav Chovat Gafra lo shaykh lamina shalei kevin delitlei. He says, it has to be Chovat Gavra, because Chovat Talit, there would be literally no value in buying a Beged to be Chayav. It's only because if the chiyuv is person-oriented, we'll come back to this point, that it's even a problem in this sort of supererogatory way.
Erogatory?
Supererogatory.
What's
erogatory? Supererogatory. It's one word.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Supererogation is the act of going beyond the letter of the law.
Oh, interesting. I've heard of derogatory.
No, no. Supererogatory. Now you have. Now you know it. I remember I used it once on a test in Rambam in 10th grade as the answer to a question. Where the answer to the question was, he acted... No, but he marked me right because he said, I assumed that you knew what you were talking about. You were just throwing away made up words. Yeah. Smart teacher, too. Not like... Right, Fader. Whatever, he has a PhD in theoretical mathematics. Theoretical? Applied? Theoretical? But still, supererogatory is usually a philosophy term. So Tosha thinks that the conclusion here is that this is within Chobot Gavra, but he notes that Rashi thinks not that way. According to Rashi, it could be true according to either position, and we'll come back to that. But so let me throw it out to you. What exactly do you think this category is of Tatsika L'miftar Asma Min HaMitzvah? What is it?
Well, what do you mean, what is it?
Like, what is it? Tell me what principle. What did I just learn? What did I learn?
Well, I know you're not supposed to, but you could.
And what does it mean? Like, what is this category? What is this thing that we... What is it? Like, what is the rule? What is its nature?
Think about it. That's a different question.
Yeah, what's the nature of this rule? Right, the Gemara is introducing a principle. What is it?
Shouldn't we try to avoid since...
Philosophically, lumdishly, halachically, what is it?
I'm assuming that's the shear.
Yes, but so before we look at the sources, tell me, what did I just learn? What is it? Right? What is this category?
It sounds like a philosophical category. I don't
know how to...
So what's the category? Tell me what the category is. Don't worry so much right now whether it's lumdish, philosophical, what is it?
Don't worry about the specific letter of the law. There's a message...
I don't know. What is it? Come on. See, it's not so obvious.
Don't be stingy with things in the...
With what?
Just because you're not...
With what type of mitzvah?
Just because you're not decreed to...
Really?
Yeah. Just because you're not decreed to do it.
Okay. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that I have to go buy a house to in order to... With a flat roof in order to build a ma'akeh?
No.
Why not? Is it the right thing to do? Is it... If when God is angry, will He punish me for not?
It's a different type of mitzvah. It's like a...
There's a mitzvah makkah too.
No.
Yeah, but that's not... That's a very expensive mitzvah, right? Tzitzir like that.
Well, you spent how much money?
Do I need to put a doorway on my... I only have enough money to live in a tent. Do I have to invest the extra money to build a yurt, which is a little bit more permanent, so that it has a doorway?
No, but this is a money concern. He's
no,
already
but
wearing
if you oh, if you have the money and are seriously considering it, but then don't for the sole reason that you don't want to have to become chayiv, then yes, that's a problem.
Okay, so one possibility is you're reading this as if I do something specifically to avoid chiyuv. Though is that clear in the Gemara? Is the reason he wore a rounded garment? Is the reason that your garment is in chayiv, your clothes are in chayiv and tzitzis? Is that did you dafka go and buy it clothes which are not four cornered?
He did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking, right? Yeah. So it's not clear, meaning there are different levels. It could be that the assumption here is don't avoid, and that's what you get from Tatsdiki. So we shouldn't avoid. But if you just happen to be in a situation where you're not, you don't have to go out of your way. And the Gemara is telling you that there's something religiously wrong, and I'm using this vague term. Religious, it's not usher, but religiously wrong with actively avoiding a mitzvah. Now, it's not clear, is this a principle in all mitzvot, or is it just tzitzis? It's not clear, right? Is it only because is it in a case where it's really easy? Is it only because the norm was to wear four cornered garments and he was going out of the way? What if the norm is not to? According to this principle, if our clothes normally are not four-cornered, does this Gemara tell you that you should wear tzitzis, wear a four-cornered garment to be chayv in tzitzis? I don't know, right? Maybe not, right? Maybe it's only when I'm avoiding the norm, rather than I'm just doing the norm, but it can't, it's not a positive, right? Maybe it's a negative. Meaning, don't avoid. Or is this a principle? Actively take advantage of mitzvot kumiot. Right? Of?
Why?
mitzvot that I can be chayav in, right, actively try to pursue them. Right? Meaning it's not totally clear what the principle is. It's not clear whether it's about tzitzis. And that's what I want to do, is try to understand this, what exactly the parameters are. But before we can do that, I want to show you a similar principle, which I want you to tell me whether it's the same or not. So look at the Gemara in Brachot number 2. Where are my Daf Yomi guys? Rafi! Daf Yomi! What's today? Nundalad? So 19 days ago. Lamed Hey. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Am Rabbi Yochan Mishum Rehuda Bar Rabbi Eloi. Bo Re'e Shaloki Dorot Arishanim Dorot Achronim. See that the earlier generations were not like our generation, they were better. Dorot Arishanim Ayu Machnisin Perotehen Derech Troximon Kedei L'Chayvan B'Maaser. The earlier generations would take in their produce in such a way that they would specifically obligate them. Because what's the rule? When does something become chayav and trumat and maaser?
Bring it in your front door.
Good. When you bring it in, right? When you bring it in the door.
So we go out of their way to bring it to the front door.
Correct. Exactly. Dorod achronim. Exactly. But the later generations, machnisin beroteyen, derech gad goat, derech chatzirot, derech karpifot, kedei lefotron min maaser. Now we do everything in our power to avoid it. We come in through the roof. Right? They'll climb up, come in through the roof and through the attic and be exempt from Maaser. D'amar Rabbi Yannai, because Rabbi Yannai said, Ein atevel mitchayev b'maaser ad sheyireh p'nei abayit. This is the rule, Riyad p'nei abayit. Shnei amar b'yad yakodesh min abayit. Riyochan amar fil chotzer kovad. Shnei amar v'achlu b'sharech ofis aveyu. And that principle includes the chatzer as well, and therefore they would avoid the chatzer, avoid the front door. This criticism, is this the same as Tatskli Miftar Hatzim and a mitzvot? Worse? Better, more halachic, less philosophical, even more removed philosophically, what is it? More supererogatory, less supererogatory, more violation of the letter of the law, what is it?
Is it a chayav through the walking through the door, or a chayav, and then you can only express that through walking through the door?
You only become chayav, in Truman and Meisert, if it goes in the house the normal way. Re'a p'nei abayit. If not, not chayav.
Why was it formulated that way? There is the thought that, oh, I could just enter a different way.
This is biblical.
That,
I don't know. Ask God.
The second you say that.
But I'm saying, what is the Gemara's criticism? I don't want to know the principle of re-up and abide. I want to know, what is the Gemara's criticism? Is this the same as Tosca Miftar Atzvah and Mitzvah? Worse? Better? Maybe. Right? Maybe.
Right? They were popped to themselves by not entering through the front door.
Okay. So you could say it's the same. Is it different and distinct in any way?
Well, in that whatever the idea is that Hashem will choose you first to destroy you if you don't want tzitzis in a time of,
Yeah.
Here they're clearly going out their way. It's not
right, meaning this might be worse because they're going out of their way. They're doing something abnormal.
Well, say you still could say the same thing. Like,
which depends on how you...
I have a four-corner garment, but
being,
I cut off
the
corners. They're
being proactive to not do it.
Good, they're being more... So, again, is this equivalent? It's unclear, right? Maybe this is more proactive.
Okay, right? That's okay, you can go down that road, but they sound the same at a blanket level.
Maybe. Okay, right? There's definitely similarities. Now let's try the next Gemara. In Kiddushin, Lamed Bet to Lamed Gimel.
Oh, this is Daniel.
What?
Yeah, I know all of it.
Good. So tell it to me by heart. I'll start you off. Tanu Rabbanan, Mipnei Seivat Akum.
Seivat Akum, do you
remember that?
Yeah. Yeah? Yachal Afilu Mipnei Zaken Ashmai. I think you even have to stand up for, in some versions, Ashmai, in some versions, Armoi.
Oh, is this for like who comes in?
Talmud Lomar, yes. You have to stand up. There's a chiyuv to stand up for a zakein. Talmud Lomar, zakein. Vin zakein al chacham. A zakein means, in these contexts, a chacham, a wise person. Shneamar asvali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi Aglili omer in zakein al misha kana chachma. And a zakein is one who has acquired wisdom. Shneamar Hashem kinni reshit darko. Yochol ya'amod mipanav mimakom rachok. I might have thought that I'm obligated, even if I see him at a distance, Talmud Lomar, takum vahadarta. The pasuk said, stand up in a way that it will honor him. Lo amarti kimal makam sheishidur. It has to be a case where it would provide respect. Yochol yadrenu b'mamon. So you might have thought the fact that I have to respect them, maybe that means I have to give them money. Talmud Lomar, takum vahadarta. No. You honor them by standing up for them. Lo amarti kimal makam sheishidur. Sorry. Ma kimah She'en ba chisaron kis, af hidur she'en ba chisaron kis. So it's talking about hidur, respect that doesn't cause monetary loss. Yachol yamod b'manav mibera kisei mera merchatz. So maybe you would think you have to stand up for them in an old style, like outhouse or shower house, bath house. Talmud lomar takum v'adar to lomar tekima v'akam she'esh hidur. It has to be a place in which standing up is respectable and provides respect. But now the Gemara gets to this. Yachol yatzim einav kemisha lo ra'u. You might think that you could close your eyes to make it as if you don't see them. Talmud lomar takum v'yareta. The pasuk says, stand up, v'yareta, fear God. Davar ha'masur l'leiv ne'amar bo v'yareta melokecha. Any mitzvah, which is specifically enforceable only by God, because only God knows whether you actively closed your eyes to not see them, or you actually didn't see them. The pasuk has to qualify it that what's going to enforce it is yirat shamayim, because God knows what's in your heart. The Gemara then goes back to it. Yachol yatzim einav kemisha lo ra'u. So the Gemara says atu birishiyei askinan. Are we talking about a rasha? That's clearly usher. To pretend that you don't see them is clearly usher because you now have a chiyuv and you're avoiding it. That's just usher. That's a bitul mitzvah aseh. That's not a chiddush. You don't have to tell me that a rasha is doing the wrong thing. So what are we talking about? I might have thought it should be mutter for you to close your eyes. You see them at a distance, you're not yet chayav to stand up. So what do? You close your eyes so that when they get close enough, you won't know. So you might have thought that that's okay. So when they actually come, I'm not obligated, because I don't see them. Talmud Lomar, you can't do that. Takum v'yareta. So is this principle the same or different? Worse or better? What do you think? Worse or better? I would say worse. Remember, in the Gemara Menachot, is it usur for the person not to wear a beged to have tzitzis on?
No.
No. It's just that in a case when God is already angry, so
whatever that means,
you will be one of the people swept away in his wrath. In this case, what does it sound like? If the person closes his eyes so that he won't see the Talmud Chacham when the Talmud Chacham approaches, Is it just when God's angry, you won't have enough extra merit to protect you? Which sounds like it's midat chasidus. What does it sound like? What does it sound like? Just from the Gemara, what does it sound like?
Like it's more neutral.
No, it sounds like usur. It's reading into a pasuk. It's saying that's a bitl of the mitzvah and only God will know. Takum v'yareta. It sounds like this is actually formally usur,
like
rather than just, you know, you're not buying yourself. Why? What's the difference? Right. Here it sounds like formally usur, and there,
well,
not.
There you don't really have to.
Versus good.
Here you do.
Good. So.
But unless you're normally...
But remember, this is not the Russia. It's not someone who's pretending not to. It's someone who's making it that when the Shas Chiyuv comes, they won't know about it. Right? So it's not... This person isn't a Russia, but it is a violation of Kima. Right? It sounds like it's worse and more formally usher, but why?
When you know that Chiyuv is coming, the other one, see, there is no Chiyuv coming.
Correct, right? So it sounds like there's two different categories. There's one which is avoiding a Chiyuv which is actually coming. The other is avoiding being in a situation in which you would be Chiyuv.
Something that
right?
would make you Chiyuv.
Exactly. One of those sounds like it's actually usur, and one of those is just not the right thing to do, but not formally usur. Let me give you another case. The Gemara tells you in Bava Batra, Tzadi Aleph, Tan Rabbanan, Ein Yotzin Me'eretz L'chutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to leave Israel. El emkein amdu satayim v'selo. Unless the price of produce is exorbitant. Satayim v'selo. Why is it asur to leave Eretz Yisrael? So there are different reasons in the Rishonim, but the Rashbam says, Shemafkia atzmo min ha-mitzvot. Because you remove yourself from mitzvot.
Well, that's the Ramban's. He thinks that...
Well, the Ramban's much more extreme, correct. The Ramban thinks that in Chutz Laretz, all your mitzvot are just practice. Correct. The Ramban thinks that outside of Eretz Yisrael, none of your mitzvot count. Nikuda.
Aha, there goes the first team. That was important. I didn't say anything.
This is like the classic Zionist, religious Zionist speech, right? Is the Ramban says that as long as you're in Chutz Laretz, your mitzvot don't count. So make aliyah. There, I've been yotzei. Okay.
I'm really tired.
Okay, Yoshua.
Also, I've gotten sapphers
brain. How's the sapphers going?
As an ugly toddy, and I need to erase it.
Not really.
Is it kosher?
I would like to erase it.
What? You finished?
No, this is 9 o'clock. I'm like, I'm
just finished. Mazel
tov. It probably is kosher.
Oh, Megillah, look at that. Look at you.
Yeah, we need to get one more person. We'll write you a group one.
You're a machine. How does he write so fast? Honestly. Like, I don't do this, but like all I know is he's going...
Quantity versus quality.
I also write that to you guys. I also write a lot faster than you guys.
Yeah.
Very impressed. Okay, but this principle of the Rashbam, right? Principle of the Rashbam. What would you say? Is this more or less than Tatz Tequila Mifter Asma Min HaMetzvot? Worse, better?
I would
say worse, because he's commenting on the Gemara, which seems to assume that there's some real isser in leaving Eretz Israel, and his justification is because you were in a situation in which you were chayv and you actively left it, which sounds like that's worse, right? Meaning it may not be mechayv you to go to Eretz Israel, but leaving Israel is. That's like taking your four-cornered baguette and then cutting off a corner and rounding it. Right? That sounds like that's...
Not really.
Us, sir? Yeah, us, sir.
Why?
Well,
I'm just cutting the corner off my baguette.
Shemafkia.
That results in...
You're removing a mitzvah. It sounds like it.
Are you either bringing it up with a blank or you're removing a corner which results in a mitzvah going away?
Well, when you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to give Truman and Maestrot, but the Rashbam thinks that's enough of a reason to say you can't leave Israel.
So you live in Israel?
No.
I'm assuming you never visited.
Correct.
Right. So if that means if you didn't.
There's an incident that's very interesting that we're not clear that the exact historicity of it is a little bit hard to pin down. Fascinating. Of the 300 Ashkenazi rabbis who did in fact make Aliyah around that time period, but that's a story for another time. So what you get here is so what you have here is a few Gemaras that point to a range of principles that are related, but not identical, in which it is, ranges from not the Midas Chasidus, meaning spiritually wrong, to generates actual prohibitions of avoiding Chiyuv in Mitzvot. Now what would you say if... Based on these principles, what would you say? If nowadays you don't wear a baguette that has four corners, would you say you're violating any of these principles? What do you think? What do you think?
base.
Well, you're definitely not.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire base is moving on.
Yeah. Joel and Chum, could you move your desks like a little more that way? Everything's kind of migrated this way.
Okay, but can we just after your show?
I agree. Oh, I don't know. We're just playing.
Okay. So what do you think? All right. Okay. So what do you think?
Well, you're definitely not. Athena's not coming.
Good. So is this? So tell me, is this is not putting on tzitzis? Is that lower level of tzatziki? Is there yet another level? Meaning, can you derive from tzatziki that in a world where where people don't normally wear four corner garments, that I should dafka wear a four corner garment? What do you think? Yes, that's what I'm asking you. What do you think the principle is? Is the principle you should try to be chayav in mitzvos or you shouldn't? Avoid mitzvos, nafka mina. If the given is that people wear four corner garments and I dafka don't,
that's different than if no one does.
Right? Then if you formulate the principle as whatever this low level thing called tatskil mitzvah is, it's don't avoid it. So then that might only be when the norm is to wear a four corner garment.
Right.
But if the norm is to not wear a four corner garment, so is tatskil enough to be machayev? Not machayev. To push me halachically to wear it?
Seemingly not.
But if you formulate tatsuki as I should actively pursue mitzvot and therefore I shouldn't avoid them,
then even now.
So Tosfot tells you in 6, Tosfot Erechin says, second to last line, Hainu dafka bo'otana yamim d'chola talitoda yuba arba kanfot. This tatsuki is only in a world where the norm is a four-cornered garment. There, ika onish lo'oto shemishane oto lihipater. So then there's some sort of weird spiritual punishment for someone who avoids chiyuv. Avo bizman hazeh shirova talitot p'turin. But nowadays when most of our clothes are not four-cornered, ein onesh lemisha oneh kone arba kanfo. There's no punishment, even this lower level punishment of not wearing a four-cornered garment. So what do you have so far? Right? We have... If we want to define our sort of list of chiyuvim, you have the following, right? The worst thing you can ever do is violate a law. Okay? Then you have
mevatel,
right? Be mevatel, a positive obligatory mitzvah. Right? Don't say Shema. Okay? Don't eat matzah.
Right. I guess the first one's worse because it's specifically...
Right? This is the worst. Violating law is the worst.
Specifically, don't do it. And then you decide.
Correct. Bidu mitzvah say chiyuvit. Right? But now we have different categories. We have... which is... avoiding... Right? Which is... here. You have... actively... avoiding a mitzvah asay. Okay? You have actively avoiding a obligatory mitzvah.
Why is that different than the second one?
No, this is being mevatel, meaning you are chayav and you just didn't do it.
Versus
one is avoiding chiyuv.
The chiyuv hasn't come, but you...
The chiyuv hasn't come yet, but you're avoiding it.
Oh, the chiyuv did come and you avoided it.
Right, this is, it's Pesach night, I don't eat matzah. That's bitul mitzvah asay d'oraisa.
Versus what? Like, you didn't...
This is, right, that's the closing eyes. Right? I don't want to have to see the Talmud Chacham when he comes to stand up. But he hasn't come yet. Right? The Gemara says, if he's here and you pretend that you don't see him, that's this. Bitul mitzvah asay chiyuvit, and what do we call you? Rasha.
Right.
Right? Atu barashia askina. This is clearly a lower level. Actively avoiding mitzvah asei chiyuvit.
I feel like the ha'amina would be that one.
Right, then you have, right? Actively avoiding a mitzvah asei chiyuvit, right? Which is, I normally wear a four-cornered garment, but I definitely don't want to. But, so I actively don't. And then there's failing to pursue a mitzvah say. Right? Okay? So, according to Tosfot, which one is Tatsdiki? Right, Tatsdiki mitzvah mitzvot is this one.
Yeah.
Avoiding, actively avoiding a mitzvah that say kiyumit. Right? The implication, this is Tosfos Tatsdiki. Right? Lemaisa, what is the implication of that?
That you wouldn't need to, you're not chayav.
Correct. That this is, that bizman hazeh, right, it would be mutter to not wear, right, not to wear tzitzit. From this, could I have any obligation to do this, right? Is there any proof that I should have to dafka wear tzitzis?
Not really.
No, because this is tatsiki according to him. Now, the simple shot of yoreta me'elokecha, right, where does yoreta me'elokecha go? So it could be here,
yeah,
right? It could be here, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be here. Honestly, it's unclear.
Right.
Right? It sounds like it's here because it sounds like it's worse. Like you're violating a pasuk, right? So it sounds like actively avoiding a mitzvah to say chiyuvit is a worse problem and actually usher rather than something that God will get angry for me when wrath already descends upon the world. This amorphous category over here. Right? But so far, we wouldn't have anything that would be mechayev me in this. Right? To actively put on tzitzit. The Rashbam's conceptualization of why it's usher to leave Israel. Where does that go?
That would be either, probably actively avoiding.
Right, I think that's true. Right, I think that's true. Right, but now, what's the nafka mina? Right, let's say I'm not going back to Chutz Laaretz to avoid mitzvah. I'm going back to Chutz Laaretz because that's where I live. Right?
Yeah.
Is that obviously mutter? No, it's not tatsdiki, it's higher, so maybe it's actually usher.
Or you could say that the majority of people don't live in Israel, and therefore...
Sure, but if you're in Israel, I'm saying if you're in there...
What do we mean by in there?
Living? Ah, good, so you'd have to figure out who's called being Mavatel, right? But I would think that the Rashbam thinks that it's part of this category, right? I think that's the distinction you're going to want to... Right, that tatsiki is, I'm actively avoiding the Tzana Sei Kiyumi. Even this amorphous philosophical problem is not a problem if... The given is that I would not be Mekai the Mitzvah Asay, right? I normally don't wear four-cornered garments. I would still have to base a chiyuv if I thought that you were actively chayav to wear tzitzis, so then I'd have to explain it. Right? I'd have to explain that category. Now, what other things might impact this? What factors might impact this calculus? So I would say, what about?
Well, society.
Yeah, what about cost?
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, what if the reason I'm not wearing it is because four-corner garments go for $1 million and non go for $10?
Yeah.
Right? So then what would you say? Is it a violation of tatsdiki? Potentially not, right? If it's a philosophical category that, like, it's wrong for me to actively avoid mitzvah, what if the reason I'm avoiding it is not because I don't want to do the mitzvah, but because it has hardships. So what would you say within tatsdiki? I would say there's room to say, maybe I don't have to pursue it. Right, within reason. But what about this? Well, what about actively avoiding the mitzvah zechiyuvi? I think you need a higher standard.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Like, if my legs hurt, so, and I don't want to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, I could do it, it would just hurt. So I would say, you're not chayav to drive to the Talmud Chacham to be mechavit him and stand up for him, right? But what about this category? Would it be enough to tell you that if he's coming through, I should just close my eyes to avoid chiyuv, right? Right? Because that's worse, right? This seems to be formally problematic when this is philosophically problematic.
Yeah.
So what I really want to do, again, is go through some of these principles and some of how it manifests itself in halacha and try to tease out the principles as it relates to these five different categories. Not really these two, right? But really these three, right? Which is the exact parameters in halacha of these three. Of actively avoiding mitzvah asei chiyuvi, which seems to be treated as asur. Actively avoiding a mitzvah asei kiyumi, which seems to be tatsdiki. Right? And failing to pursue a mitzvah asei, which is we don't yet have halachic language for.
What do you mean kiyumi? Let's have to do the first one and the second one.
I don't have to wear tzitzis. I only have to wear tzitzis if I wear a four card.
Versus the first one. Meaning, which is just, like...
I have
a mitzvah literally in front of me, like...
Meaning,
you have
here,
a four-cornered pyramid.
And you round the corners. Versus
yeah.
The second one, you need to buy the baguette.
Yeah. Or this one, right? I mean, the case that we saw here is the Talmud Chacham is already on his way. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's not a mitzvah kiyumi. Meaning, a mitzvah kiyumi is not... If there's a Talmud Chacham, I have to stand up for him. That's not a mitzvah kiyumit, right? Because that's when there's a Talmud Chacham, I have to stand up for him, right? That's a mitzvah asei. It's just that it's circumstantial,
right?
That's a mitzvah asei, right? I am obligated, right? That's a little bit different than right. Mitzvah kiyumit just means I have no obligation to wear a four corner garment. Just if I do, then this is how I have to do it. Right? I don't have to eat meat, but if I want to eat meat, I have to shecht it.
It's just dream time. We're not obligated to wear a four-corner garment.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, right?
Why isn't that part of it?
Good! So where would you... So, in a world where the norm is not to wear a four-corner garment, right, the best you get is this. Is there a value
to pursue it?
But where would that come from? It's not tatsdiki, according to Tosfot. Right? Tosfot claims it's not tatsdiki, but you could argue that it is.
Yeah.
Right? You could say that tatsdiki means no. Don't view it as the negative. View it as an implied positive. Right? A chiyuv, that, again, it's not a chiyuv, it's a philosophical principle, tatsdiki. So that's what I want to try to do, is analyze these different categories because there are implications. So, for example, is failing to wear tzitzis nowadays a problem of tatsdiki l'miftar asur min mitzvah?
No, I don't think so. Not according to Tosfot, at least.
So maybe yes, maybe no. Right? On the one hand, you'd say, well, it's not your normal begging. But on the other hand, it's become a norm that people wear a four-corner garment to become chayev. So how exactly do you formulate it? Is it that you say, is his point that I never have to pursue something, which is done dafka l'shem mitzvah, I just can't avoid it? Right? Or do you say that, no, I even should pursue a mitzvah to say as long as it's the societal norm?
What would you say is a societal norm right now?
To wear tzitzis, I think so. It's not a societal norm to wear a normal beged, which is four-cornered, but people do normally
go
to bed. So it is, right? But again, do you say that this is not a category at all? There's no such thing as called failing to pursue a mitzvah to say, kiyumit? Or are you saying, no, it's just, if it's societally normal, it's considered avoidance? Right, or if it's societally normal, I can actually be chayev to pursue.
That,
right, we could have all types of formulations.
With that, you would could say if a community just decided not to wear tzitzis at all, it'd be fine not to try to pursue it.
Potentially, or but
it's a weird form.
Well, that's what Tosfos clearly says. The question is, what about bisman hazeh when the norm is to wear a four-cornered garment?
Yeah,
is that tatsdiki, right, or is it just a failure to pursue a mitzvah hazeh, which people happen to do? Right? Again, these are the type of things I want to put my finger on because there are certain halachic implications. So, as we'll see, again, I put together sort of a collection of sources, but Rav Lichtenstein had an article. What?
It's a small collection.
It is relatively, compared to what
I
put up on this. But, I mean, look, some of it is I gave you a piece from Rav Lichtenstein in English, but like one of the shaylos he was asked where he invoked this Gemara, and I want you to see where it might come from, is should you be allowed or be encouraged, or is there anything wrong with going on a tiyul on sukkahs, knowing that means you won't have a sukkah, and therefore you will create the p'tur of holchei drachim, right? Because a traveler is p'tur from sukkah. But is it right to create a situation in which you can take advantage of the kula?
You can't say that, because the whole reason, I mean, there's a reason that p'tur even exists. I mean, the fact that there's an exemption that says if you're traveling, you don't need it, it means you could use it.
Not necessarily. What do you mean? You don't have to wear a four-cornered garment. And the Gemara thinks that if you choose not to, there's a problem. Right? This thing called Tatsakim Miftar Atram and Amitzvah. You're taking advantage. Same thing. The Gemara said, is there something wrong with people going through the roof? You'd say, what do you mean? There's a heter. Bring your produce into the roof.
Oh, so it's one.
It's not really a heter, though.
What do you mean? It works.
No,
it works.
Because those formulations can tell you what to do. So the only way you get out of it is by not doing it. But when it's
don't do a chanchab.
It's not saying you're only going to do
the same thing. That's the worst of the world.
Correct. No, maybe, but that's my point is that you've got to formulate it. That's exactly my point, Daniel, is that we have to see which formulation the poskim actually take to understand these principles. How do they formulate these rules? Or non-rules, or principles and rules, or combination thereof.
The poskim doesn't say if you wear a brown garment, you don't need this. It doesn't say that. It says when you wear a four-color garment, then you need this.
Yeah, and in sukkah it says live in the sukkah. And if you happen to be traveling, you're potter.
That's right, but it doesn't have that anywhere else. That's different.
So it says live in the sukkah. You're not. You're going out of your way not to live. So is that a problem?
The second line that says if you're not.
No, it's just you're chayav to live in the sukkah. And while you're traveling, it's not called the normal thing for someone to do is not to live there. Or does it depend on why you're traveling? Again, my point is to understand the implications of this halachic. We've got to tease out these principles, some of which are halachic, and some of which are explicitly not, but exist in the Gemara, right? Meaning, we're not talking here about, like, chiyuvim, and then, like, a 20th century Baal Musar says, but you know you really should do this. We're talking about a non-obligatory principle that the Gemara introduces, which makes it a little bit hard to analyze. But we need to do it, because the Gemara thinks that there is an implication to it. Right? That there, again, chiyuv, no. It's a halachic principle. I don't know what it is. Okay, let's do a few more minutes. So let's look at the Chassan Sofer. Not the Chassam Sofer, but the Chassan Sofer. He's his grandson, I believe. He's the... What? I think it's his son was the Ksav Sofer, and then his grandson was the Chassan Sofer, I think. But I'm not sure. It's just their name.
I know.
Moshe Sofer. What?
Where is he born?
Hungary.
I'm related to them somehow.
Ah. Look at you. Related to the founding family of Haredi Judaism.
Wow.
Very good. I was
like a slant.
What? That's what they are. They are the founding family of Haredi. When I was in Toronto once, I gave a share on... I mentioned the Chassam Sofer's very extreme Talmidim who took basically his principles and took them and blew them out of proportion in the Psak Din of Michalavcha, which I never pronounced correctly, which was this wild, wild thing which was presented as if it were a Psak, but basically it was like a polemic against modern Orthodox Jews or the Neo-Orthodox at the time, and how they're all violating Isurim by saying their Divrei Torah in German and wearing suits instead of kapatas and stuff like that.
Sounds like David.
What?
Lifter. Like, he believes that Yiddish is like a made-up language, so you can't speak it.
No. They wanted to speak in Yiddish. It was that they were speaking in German.
Oh.
They were speaking in the... Anyways. So, and they came out of how it was Yehar Gval Yavor, and like, it was very, very polemical, but couched in halachic language. And it was so extreme that even some of the other extreme Talmidim and the Chassam Sofer were like, nah, we can't swallow things that extreme. But I mentioned it in a shir, and the authors of that tshuva were two rabbis, Akiva Schlesinger and Hillel Lichtenstein. And there was... I wasn't like super positive about this psakdin because it's a bit crazy and, you know, criticizes basically my intellectual great-great-grandparents, you know, essentially, right? The precursor to modern Orthodoxy. But someone in shul, this is my first week in Toronto, came up and said, I'm so happy you quoted them. My kids, I'm a descendant of them and my kids are named for them. I'm like, Okay, maybe you weren't listening too carefully to the show, or like just the fact that I quote them is impressive.
Sorry, for the stories that you told me of when you've like, you know, given drushes in Toronto, the people there don't pay much attention to like either what you were saying.
No, they do. Like, but it was, anyways, it was interesting, and I was like, yeah, great.
You also said that somebody once came over to you and was like, everyone in all of Nevi'im
That was a guest.
Oh. Okay.
That was someone visiting Toronto who, yes, told me that all the people, everything done in Shoftim was positive. And when I pointed out that there was, you know, there was gang rape and civil war, they're like, no, no, they were tzaddik and we didn't understand at their level. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Huh, I never really thought about those brachim. I think it still fits. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But no, that was not a Torontonian. That was somebody who was visiting.
Wait, that's the term, Torontonian?
Torontonian.
Oh my God.
Yes. Okay. Anyways, so let's look at the Chassan Sofer. He says, Hine hamitzvot shenitzavenu b'toratenu hakadosha l'kaimam heima chilukim mehutam. Chilukim mehutam. The mitzvot that God commanded us are distinct. Yesh minei mitzvot shechiyuvam akarpafta degavra. There are mitzvot that devolve on the person. Veheima chiyuv alav behechleit. And they are absolutely obligatory. Kugon tefillin, shofar, lulav u'matzah, v'meina rotu l'kaimam over ba'aseh. And if you don't fulfill them, you violate an asse. Which category is that?
Bitul.
We call these 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 2.
Yeah.
Right? Bitul mitzvah asse chiyuvi. And that, what are the implications of something being at level 2? Now he tells you, let's flesh this out halakhically. What are the implications of something being at level 2? No. No. If I violate a law, there's punishment. If I am derelict in being mekayim mitzvah asei chiyuvi, what do I do?
Korban v'chatan?
No. Bezdin shalamata kofenot o'makanot at shishidei nafso machrichanot l'kaimam. Bezdin can coerce you and beat you until you die if you fail. No. Not malkut.
Is it the same thing?
No. Kfiya. No, kfiya. It's not a punishment. Yes, they lash you, but malkut is this. Is a punishment for a lot. And that's 39 per crime.
Strong, compelling.
Right? No, it's that I can beat you until you agree to do it. So if you give up after one, and you do the mitzvahs, I stop. As opposed to if you violated a law, I give you 39 or the most number of malkut under 39 divisible by 3 that you can handle.
Wait, hold on. I thought that malkut margus doesn't have to be 39 or less.
Correct. Right. That's what I'm saying. This... violating a law, you get formally 30. You get 39 maka, right? Bittul mitzvah asay, I beat you as many as I want until you say yes.
Oh, right.
Which means it could be 1, it could be 500, right? So it could be until you die. What?
Forceful coercion.
Forceful, like, quite forceful. Crazy. Quite forceful. Called kfiya la mitzvah. Vihine. Third category, which is avoiding mitzvah asay, right? Where you're in ansho al asay. It doesn't sound like this. It's there's these which are, where he doesn't distinguish, but these are a level down, right? Nafkamina, there's no kfiya. There's no coercion for these.
I'm still trying to understand the difference. Like, you don't do you don't eat matzah on Pesach versus what?
There is no way of escaping this chiyuv. You're just not doing it.
Oh, there is a way to escape the
correct. These are, advantage of escapes. This is, there is no way to escape. I just ignore it.
Right?
I ignore mitzvah nasei. Look at the Ritva. Ritva says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Hashana in token La Bitchila Marin La Besofa. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that any year in which you don't blow the shofar, it'll be bad at the end. Meaning you'll have, and therefore Hashem will make you blow the shofar, because you blow the shofar when there's like war and things like that. My taima, deloi arvav satan, because you didn't confuse the satan. Midinagarai taima. You know what? Okay, let's go a few more minutes. Before we skip, come back to this for a second. Look at the Nachlat Yaakov. Nachlat Yaakov says, "El al kar chayotzer rasha d'gamar ha'inu v'shemakish tatiki lemiftar atzmo mimaser kemo shamru chazal achshav achzizin derech gagot chatzir liftar mimaser v'zeh gam kein nikra rasha." Nachlat Yaakov, he says that he equates what? These two. He says there is no difference between actively avoiding a mitzvah as a chiyuvit and actively avoiding a mitzvah as a kiyumit. Right? Well, maybe. Right? He equates the... I take it back. He equates the Gemara in Brachot with the Gemara in Menachot. The avoidance of Maser with the avoidance of Tzitzit. Even though, do those sound identical? Not really. Meaning, one of them, the given should be that you're chayiv and Maser. You just avoided bringing it in through the door. The other is the given. It's not totally clear they're equivalent, but he equates them. Now look back at the Ritva. The Ritva says, why is it that it's bad if you don't blow the shofar? So he says, it sounds like you're not blowing the shofar at all. Dimkein, lama li'ay taima, lo yom ze yom hadin, v'amar kadosh baruch hu, shata lefana b'shofar, shnizka bedin, kamanam ha-mitra, sebe karbanom, et kaper lo. Ukshanu poshin mitzvah zo anu nashin, lo mipnei mitzvah zo, de lo anchi beitin shomala asei, ella b'idan ritcha. Ella ki bitul ritzuize umitzvah zo batel karban uvatla kaparat avonoz of hakomin umechayvin bedin kimi shechata v'meinu mevi karban no shamret Torah. He says, look, if I don't blow my shofar at all, then what am I? It's this, category two. He thinks that even if I blow the shofar a little bit, but I fail to blow it during tefillah and take advantage of the strength of shofar in tefillah, then he divides those categories, but he's mechadish something. Right? He says, yes, it's distinct, but he says, even failing to be mekayim mitzvah aseh, right, when does God punish?
Only when he's angry.
Which means, it sounds like from the Ritva that possibly
God has emotion.
There is, but there's also what?
Nice.
That there's an overlap between category 2, 3, and 4.
That's in the recording.
Right? Because he says God only punishes even on... Right, it sounds like even Aseh, even Bitul Mitzvah Aseh, when he's angry, which means that, spiritually speaking, the punishment of this is somewhat equivalent to these. But it's not clear, because he's talking about someone who doesn't blow at all, right? So it's not 100% clear, right? But he blurs a little bit between these categories. If you look at the Oneg Yom Tov, he says, V'beinu Azi Shaper, Ki Yesh Mishem Mevatal Mitzvah Aseh B'yadai, Im Kagon Shegiyos Man Matzo Sukhav Mevatal. Category one, it's time for matzah, you don't eat it. The yeshenu mevatla biyadayim rasha is a toxic liftor nafshu mimena. And then there are people who just avoid it. Kimasha katuv bibrachot. And then he says that's equivalent to the Gemara in?
Brachot.
So he says that the Gemara in Brachot is this, but he distinguishes it from this, right? From being mevatel li mitzvah aseh. So in the Ritva, we have the possibility that at some level these are equivalent. Right, the most mefarshim make a very clear distinction, at least between category 1 and 2, right, violating lav and bitul mitzvah aseh, and then these, right, between the oresa me'elokecha cases and tatsdiki lemiftar atzmo mitzvah, they equate the meiser case to tatsdiki, right, we haven't yet quite seen someone articulate a distinction between what we said may exist, which is avoiding a mitzvah aseh chiyuvit, which is the closing your eyes. Right, but most poskim assume there is a sharp distinction between violating lavin, being mavatal mitzvah zechiyuvit, and all these other categories, with one nafkamina so far being kfiya. Now he does note, though, rakshaf al pikein, god lavanim v'nesau, sha'os etatzkel mitzvah nafsho min ha-mitzvah. You're called someone who is disgusted by the word of God or rejects the word of God. But now he says something interesting. He says, why is it so bad? Because it shows that you didn't want to be Mekayim the mitzvah. What does that open the possibility to? Blurring the lines between 2 and 3 and 4, meaning avoiding mitzvah to say kiyuvit and mitzvah to say kiyuvit, and failing to pursue. Right? Because he says the reason that it's usher to avoid a mitzvah to say kiyuvit is because it reveals the fact that you don't actively want to, which already opens the possibility that there's this. Pashas not. Right? But it's possible that this is yet another category. So what we're going to have to do is continue fleshing these out tomorrow.
You would say it's not a category in itself?
It might be a category. Well, that's the question. Meaning, is it a lower level category, or is it in fact whatever this thing is called, tatsiki? Are there nafkaminas? I don't know. Right? Meaning, could I ever be chayev to wear a four-cornered baguette in order to be the kind of mitzvah? Is that even a value?
Well, it's definitely not an instituted drabbanon or anything like that.
Well, good, but what is it? Okay, so I want to keep trying to flesh out these categories. I hope to finish it tomorrow. At this point, like we've done the sort of intellectual, theoretical work. I want to flesh it out a little bit tomorrow, but I've got over my time, so let's leave that. Oh, tomorrow, Rosh Shechter. Yeah, I'll give Shir maybe first thing. I don't know if Rosh Shechter's sending Makaros, so maybe first thing. I don't know. I have no idea. What? Usually he doesn't send Makaros, but once in a while he does. I know, once in a while, last year he did. So we'll find out. I'll try to find out from Jonathan Cohen, and we'll play it by ear tomorrow. I'll try to give Shir, but it depends how many Makaros he sends. Yeah. But if he sends no Makaros, then I'll definitely give Shir. If he sends Makaros, if there are a lot of Makaros, I won't give Shir. If there are... Correct. So we'll figure it out tomorrow.